Global Research News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. The topic today is Gaza. Gaza will be discussed a great deal in this program as long as the carnage continues. We're trying to make contact with two retired doctors who live in Gaza City. Gaza City is right in the heart of Israelis' aggression, right in the heart of what I call state terrorist attacks against innocent civilian people. The great majority of people killed and injured in Gaza have been civilians. I've written a great deal about it. Three human rights organizations on the ground estimate somewhere between 80 and 90% of all deaths and injuries have been civilians. We don't know how many Israeli soldiers have been injured or killed because Israel won't report it accurately. Of course not. There's a pretty fierce resistance going on, but we're talking about individuals with light arms, with homemade weapons, and they're up against the world's fourth most powerful military. F-16 planes, attack helicopters, high-tech tanks, and terror weapons, illegal weapons, like white phosphorus bombs. They give off white smoke. Anybody exposed to this, it burns the skin to the bone. You can't extinguish it with water. And if you inhale any fumes, it burns your insides. If you're lucky, you'll only be contaminated with future, most likely, disease. Chances are you won't be so lucky, and it will kill you. These are terror weapons. There are others being used as well. Israel and the U.S. does the same thing in the wars they fight. They try out their new weapons. Doesn't matter if they're legal or illegal, they try them out. They use human beings as guinea pigs, including cluster bombs. Well, they're not new, they've been around for decades. Israel layered them all over Lebanon in 2006. Have I connected with my guests, any of them? Oh, you got them both. Oh, wonderful. I had scheduled Kathy Kelly as well to be on the program, but I don't know that we'll be able to reach her. You can't reach her. Well, let me welcome my guests, and then we'll take a break. It's coming up very shortly, and we'll pick up the discussion. My guests are Dr. Iyad Sarraj. He's a psychiatrist and a human rights activist. And Dr. Musa El-Haddad. He's a retired physician. Again, they both live in Gaza City. And this is ground zero of Israel's attack. Gentlemen, I welcome you both to the program. Can you hear me?
It's my pleasure, sir. Thank you.
I won't be certain who I'm speaking to, and because...
This is Dr. Haddad. Dr. Musa Haddad.
Is this Iyad? Or is this Musa?
Hello.
Well, when we hear that soft music, it means a commercial break is coming. Let's take the break, and we'll come back. And I welcome you to stay on for the whole hour. We'll be right back. Two guests from occupied Gaza City, two doctors, Dr. Iyad Sarraj, Dr. Musa El-Haddad. Can I just say a few more things, and then I want listeners to hear from you what you're living through every single day, period, but especially since Saturday, December 27th, when Israeli forces attacked Gaza, and they did it at about 11:25 in the morning, when young school children were leaving their morning classes and going home, and others were heading for their afternoon classes. They did it deliberately to kill young children, to kill other civilians. And this is an Israeli tactic. They have a doctrine. I don't have it in front of me, but I discovered it. I believe it's called the Dahiyan doctrine. I may be pronouncing that wrong. I don't have it in front of me. And that doctrine states, I quoted from it, that doctrine states that the policy of the Israeli forces, the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, is to attack the weakest spots, to attack the civilian infrastructure, because everything is related to whoever they call the enemy. Today it's Hamas. In the 1980s, it was the PLO under Arafat. When Hamas was created, established in 1987, Israel supported Hamas. If anything, Hamas was more militant back then than it certainly is now. Well, we could go on and on, but I'm doing my sixth article now, and I cover a lot of ground in it, including a daily account of what's been happening since December 27th. But I go back to before Israel became a state, and I cover terror attacks against Palestinian people. It's impossible to cover them all in an article. I think you need a very long book to go into them. There have been so many hundreds of them going back before 1948 when Israel became a state in May. But there were two future prime ministers. I'll mention this briefly. Two future prime ministers of Israel, Menachem Begin. He led a terrorist gang called the Irgun, and probably the most notorious thing he did. And Israel's first prime minister, Israel's George Washington, so to speak, David Ben-Gurion, he was the head of the Jewish agency at the time, and he signed off on the Irgun bombing the King David Hotel. He killed 92 Brits, Arabs, and a few Jews. I'm certain that was a mistake. And wounded 52 others. It was also a gang called the Stern Gang. These were terrorist gangs. They committed bloody murder. Another future prime minister was one of its leaders, Yitzhak Shamir. Imagine, become a terrorist for Israel and become a future prime minister. Well, I went through and I just listed one terror attack after another. And I included some big ones. But gentlemen, let me welcome you all, you both. One of you begin and explain what you're going through right now in Gaza. Either Iyad, Musa, either one. Please go ahead.
Hello, okay, this is Musa speaking from Gaza City. Let me get a quick overview for the readers and listeners about the devastated long stretch of land on the Mediterranean Sea, lying south and west to the Israeli land, what is called the Israeli land.
Can I interrupt for just one moment? Can I interrupt? You're coming in very choppy. Is this Iyad? Musa, I can barely hear you. You're breaking up. Musa, hang up and we'll call you right back and try to get a better line. And Iyad, let me let you... Musa, please, hang up and we'll call you right back. Iyad, explain what you've been going through and also how I scheduled to have you on the program on Wednesday. But you couldn't come on because the bombing began and you had to go to a shelter. Iyad? Can you hear me, Iyad? It's not easy getting through. This is a war zone. Okay, we'll try calling them both back. It is not easy getting through, and you can see sometimes when we do, lines break up. Cell phones don't work from Gaza now. I think towers have been destroyed. Landlines, when you're lucky, they work. Power is very sporadic. Very, very little power. Most Gazans have none whatsoever. And those that have any usually have a personal generator. Who do you have back? Musa, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me better?
Oh, I can hear you better. You were breaking up. Please begin again and explain people what you're going through every day.
Okay, let me start by giving an overview about what Gaza Strip for those readers or those who don't have the full idea. Gaza Strip is a stretch of land on the Mediterranean Sea, bordered on the north and east by Israeli land, and on the south by Egypt. It measures 360 square kilometers, inhabited by 1.5 million civilians. So that is about 5,000 civilians per square kilometers. So if you throw a stone, you're bound to hit one or two people. Now, this piece of land, Israel claims that it is not occupied anymore by Israel. But if I tell you that you cannot go inside sea more than 6 miles, Israeli warships will come and stop you if they don't hit you. And you cannot fly out of the airport because Israel has demolished that airport completely more than once. And you cannot leave Gaza Strip because all the borders are closed by Israel, and you cannot leave because of this siege that has been imposed on Gaza. So if you don't call this an occupation, I don't know what you can call it. Now, for the last 2 weeks, today is day 21, we've been having this kind of horrible war. I call it war on humanity, because everything that is living and beautiful in this part of the world is being bombarded, starting from trees to animals to children to women, to men, old women, everything is being bombarded, even buildings. Now, until today, the official figures are over 1,100 people killed. More than 35% of those are children, 10 years and below of age, and more than 15% of those killed are women. And we have more than 5,000 injured. Some of them will have permanent handicap injuries. And I will leave the psychological handicap to my dear friend, Dr. Yad. Now, we've been living a life that is a minute to minute. I'm talking to you now. I don't know whether I'll be alive after 5 minutes or not, because I can hear explosions outside, very loud explosions. So been having a very difficult life for the last 3 weeks. Even those they claim that they give 3 hours of kind of ceasefire, but during these 3 hours, between 1 and 4 our time, I could hear explosions all the time, and 2 people were killed or injured. This kind of life is so unhuman, so unbelievable. It's very difficult to describe it unless you live in it. Of course, now for more than 3 weeks. The local ones have a generator that they can charge for a couple of hours or something. I do have one, so I can get to the internet and communicate with my friends or children in the United States. These figures that I gave you are just the official figures. I'm sure there are hundreds of dead bodies under those demolished buildings, and there are so many of them. People on the local radios keep screaming, asking for help. Because they are trapped either in buildings or under buildings. They call from their cell phones, that is, if their cell phones work, if they are lucky.
Musa, let me interrupt you. That music means we have a commercial break. Let's take the break, and we'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome back to the News Hour. I'm on with Musa El Haddad, and we've also reconnected with Dr. Iyad Sarraj. One quick comment. There's so much to say about what's going on. I mentioned in my newest article that among all the other atrocities that Israeli forces are committing, there are reports that they're marauding into residential neighborhoods like where both of you live, and on loudspeakers or whatever, they're ordering people out of their homes. And there are some reports people are coming out waving white cloths, and Israeli troops are shooting some of them down in cold blood. I mean, it's pretty outrageous stuff that this is going on, shooting defenseless civilians down in cold blood. I haven't heard a lot about a great many being shot this way, but women, others, again, being shot in cold blood. Iyad, we haven't connected with you. Let me let you jump in and explain what's going on where you are. You don't have Iyad? Well, Musa, let me let you pick up where you left off.
Yes, this is Dr. Musa al-Haddad again. Israel claims that they're doing what they are doing because of Hamas homemade rocket attacks from Israel. Let me just take you a little bit back. There was a truce between Hamas and Israel for 6 months. During that truce was supposed to cover three things. Number one, a ceasefire between both sides. Number two, opening all the borders around Gaza Strip. Number three, extending the peace to the West Bank after those 6 months. Now, during those 6 months, Hamas did not fire any rockets. Zero. During the last 3 weeks of those 6 months, Israel went into Gaza Strip and killed 23 innocent civilians at three different occasions. This is on record. This was to intimidate Hamas, provoke Hamas fighters to start firing rockets, so the Israelis will say we have to defend ourselves. Well, Hamas did not fire any rockets during that truce. They kept on their ceasefire, but when the truce ended, they said there was no threat of extending that truce because, number one, it was breaking it, and number two, Israel did not open the borders. So, anyway, that's why the situation is like this now. Yesterday, only yesterday, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello?
Yes, one pregnant lady,
who was in labor, she wanted to go to the hospital to have the baby and to give birth. So she took three of her late friends with her, that was from the north of Gaza, to the hospital. She did not take her husband. She thought they might shoot at him because he's a man. So all the four ladies went walking. It was not too far from their home, 1 mile, to the hospital. And on the way, they were shot dead, all four of them. Ladies. One of them was pregnant and she was in labor. So this is just one story of what's going on here. So anybody that moves can be targeted. And as you mentioned, people were threatened to leave their homes, and either they went to shelters like the Eleanor school that you know about, and then this school was targeted and the 48 people were killed, or people in the mosques. 16, goodness sake, 16 mosques have been bombarded by F-16 so far. In one occasion, during their prayer time, there were 16 people killed during prayer time while they were praying. Mosques are very places for those people who don't know, just like churches. So this is, I don't know if you can call it, if you don't call it Holocaust or war on humanity, this is what I call it. But things are unbelievable. You know, I can go on and tell you hundreds of stories that are unbelievable. Children as young as 5 months, I've seen 5 months old baby being killed. A woman with her 6 children, they were sleeping in the bed. There was no man in the house. There was no rocket fight or anything. There was no Hamas men in the house. This house was bombarded. The woman and one of her daughters were severely injured. And 5 of her children, the youngest one was 1 year old, they were all killed. What can you call this? You know, it's unbelievable what's going on. And this is all happening in this time and age, in the 21st century, when everybody can see and hear and read about what's going on.
Lisa, we need to take another commercial break. We need to take another break. Iyad, I think you're connected. When we come back, I want to get you on and let you talk about what you're going through. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the News Hour. I'm on with Musa El-Haddad and Iyad Siraj. And Iyad, I want to give you a chance to comment. I know you and Musa are friends. And this morning, Iyad, you told me that you were both classmates back at school. Explain to listeners what you're going through, and cover one thing, if you would. It's not safe to go outside of your home. There's a siege going on as well. Israel keeps most essential to life things out, or at a minimum. Imagine 1.5 million people being locked down. And this has gone on for the past year and a half. And since Hamas was democratically elected, Israel imposed a blockade, an embargo, not just Israel, the entire West, the U.S., the EU, Israel imposed a blockade on a democratically elected government. Outrageous. This was back in January 2006. So this has gone on for three years, and now a war, the most savage war Israel has waged against the Palestinian people since the so-called 1967 Six-Day War. That's when they stole the territories we now call occupied. a mere 22% of the original homeland. But he explain to listeners what you're going through and tell them what you have to do to bring food in to eat. Iyad, please go ahead. Iyad, can you hear me?
Can you hear me, Steve?
Oh, I can barely hear you.
I can barely hear you.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, it's not very good.
We're having connection problems. Let's do this. Hang up and we'll call you back and try to make a better connection.
Okay.
Who's that?
Yes, I can hear you well.
Yes, you're coming through very well. Not perfectly, but what can you expect from a war zone? But I can hear you.
Well, during the break, in the last 7 minutes, I heard about 10 huge explosions outside. I don't know where, but they don't seem to be too far from where we are. This is the life that we are going through. So one explosion there, the next explosion that knows where it's, I can hear an Apache flight up in the sky. I can hear the sound. So probably in a minute now, you will hear the explosion. So they are bombarding the world and everybody.
And they do it at night. They do this round the clock. There are some nights
Now it is 6:35 in the evening, Gaza time.
What? How do you get food?
So the situation is just like this. Okay, until you get connected with Riyadh, let me just, I'm sure you must have told your readers this, but again, the reason that during the Blackburn, the street, and whatever it's doing, because of Hamas rockets. What about the West Bank? Did you hear about any rockets being fired from the West Bank?
The rockets?
Nobody there heard, and nothing has happened there. Why do they have this stupid embargo on the West Bank? And so many clergies and so many people are taken into prison and tortured and killed every day. That's in the West Bank.
Well, absolutely.
I don't know if
this war,
this, but this is happening.
This war has nothing to do with so-called Hamas rockets. Israel has admitted that they planned this war 6 months ago, and they planned it collaboratively with Washington. Israel doesn't go to war unless it's a joint effort between Washington and Tel Aviv. They have a pact. They do it together. And if Washington says no, then Israel doesn't
do it. And so those readers who don't know this, these Apaches and these 16 flights that are bombarding children and women in this part of the world are all American made.
Oh, indeed. Iyad, are we connected with you again? We don't have Iyad? Oh, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. Well, if I miss him today, I will definitely get him back. I will keep trying it until I can get him on. But please continue, Musa. And what I want you to explain.
Yeah, well, it's probably because of those explosions that I can hear. Maybe at winter shelter or something. So as I told you, they are quite loud explosions. They were not far from here.
Let me interrupt you. We've reconnected with Iyad. Let me get Iyad on to make some comments. Iyad, can you hear me all right?
Yes, I listen better, yes.
Well, you're not coming in too well, but let's give it a try. Explain what you're going through every day.
Well, it's been terrifying 3 weeks. I have been through all the wars since 1948, when Israel was stuck during a war, and then 1956 war, 1967, 1973, and the first Intifada, and the second. This was the worst. It has been so terrifying for the whole population. This is the first
Israel and Israeli using all its arsenal against the population of Gaza Strip, from air, from land, from sea. We were bombed everywhere. The place turned into a ghost town. Gaza has become like a ghost town where people are so scared to go out. And so many people were evicted from their homes, fled their homes. Many people were bombed while they were in their homes, and that sent the alarm signal to the rest of the population in the north and the south that they should leave. And many have left already. We have something like 250,000 from the 1.5 million people in Gaza as refugees. Now refugees the second time. They were refugees approached in 1948 from their villages in Palestine, and now they are approaching again from their hometowns, from their refugee camps they're sitting in. It's been so traumatic for us, particularly for the children who are so terrified. It is because their parents are terrified. Terrified because they see images on TV or it works of dead children. Terrified because they hear the explosions which are horrific in its sounds, and they are everywhere. Horrified when they see their windows are shuttered, and horrified when they cannot sleep. Horrified when they went to their bed, and horrified when they want to ask a question. What?
I think we're all right. Please continue. He's gone. Oh, we lost him. Musa, are you still with me? Musa? Oh, dear. Have we lost them both?
He's back, but...
Musa?
Yes, I'm with you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. We lost the... his line just went dead in the middle of what he was saying.
There was an explosion just now when he was talking. So, God knows, maybe the phone line or cable was cut off or something. But this is the life we are living now. You don't know what to do. That's bombarding all the time. And I know you were asking, yeah, how do we do with our, life stuff? How do we get food? How do we, as you know, we have no electricity now. So most grocery stores don't keep stuff, even if they have keep stuff in the refrigerator, because they don't spoil. But again, there isn't much in the in Gaza Strip anyway. For me, it's only me and my wife, so we can manage with whatever we have. But what about those big families with 6 or 7 or 10 children in the house? There's an explosion just now. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what will happen tomorrow or after 1 hour.
Lisa, we
people are scared of going out to get anything. Like if you go to a bakery store to get some bread for your children, you have to wait in time for 3 or 4 hours.
Listen, Iyad is reconnected. We've heard so little from him. Iyad, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, yes. Please continue. Your line went dead, but we have you again.
Okay.
Pick up from where we left off.
What I'm saying is that today the children are terrified. Tomorrow the children will identify with someone to replace their father, somebody powerful that can protect them, and that somebody could be very well an extreme militia group that will go and join the resistance, and this is where the new cycle of violence is created by the actions of Israel, this brutal force that Israel has been conditioned to use for the last 6 years since its establishment, is only causing havoc, causing more violence. And it has never secured Israel. Israel's security cannot be achieved with brutal force. Israel's security can only achieve when the serious grievances of the Palestinians are addressed, particularly the question of approaching the question of being treated equally, the question of respecting their human rights, their dignity. And when Israel starts to be one of the nations of the world that is living within the standard of the international legalities and the international standard for human rights, today Israel is a rogue state, living outside the community that respects human rights, as only in defiance of the world, supported by the American administration. I cannot imagine that an American president is giving his blessing to Israel's carnage in Gaza and saying that Israel has the right to defend itself by killing 1,000 Palestinians and injuring 5,000 of them. Many of them are children. I cannot just understand it. This is not a normal, decent American president, and we hope that this man will never be returned again. Nothing will be worse than him. I hope that Obama will do something indeed after all this promise. Israel is at best using brutal force, but this is not the remedy for Israel. This is not the security for Israel. Israel needs to be rescued from itself. Otherwise, it is doomed.
Well, absolutely. I have written a lot about Barack Obama and the people who he's assembled to be his key officials, his cabinet members, other key people in his administration. And here it is Friday. Next Tuesday, he will be the next president. I hold out very little hope for him. I hate to tell you that, but I have written so much on how he has literally pledged to do whatever it takes to help Israel, whatever it takes. I've quoted his actual words. James Petras, a distinguished scholar, a professor emeritus, has been on this program several times, and he wrote he writes so many important articles. One, he wrote about Obama. Two, he wrote about Obama. He called him the greatest con man in recent history, and he also called him the first Jewish president, quote-unquote, meaning he has sold his soul before he even became president to the state of Israel. So I don't expect anything from him. What I'm very hopeful for.
Yes, right. I want to tell you just one thing. I think there was a kind of tacit agreement between George Bush, Obama, and Israel to start this operation during Christmas time, go through the new year, until the day before his inauguration. This is why I think the war will stop just one day before Obama takes office, because he doesn't want to start his presidency with a carnage in Gaza, and he doesn't want to look as if he's supporting this rogue state called Israel.
Oh, that's very possible.
This is something that can make me a little bit hopeful. If that is true, but this is only my suspicion.
But it will be a fraud. It really won't be stopping anything. It will be a pause before something happens again. But right now there are so-called negotiations, quote-unquote, going on. Well, Israel and Washington don't negotiate. They demand. They demand. I quoted Khalid Mashal in Damascus, and he laid out a very clear, logical, sensible, fair ceasefire proposal. Israel stops attacking Gazans. Israel withdraws its troops from Gaza. Israel opens the border so humanitarian supplies can come in. Israel ends the siege so Gazans can live like normal human beings. These are conditions that absolutely should not be compromised. Well, I have no idea if Israel will do this. I frankly will be astounded if Israel agrees to this. But they may try to finesse something so that the so-called war looks like it's not going on next Tuesday when Obama becomes president. But who can know? Who can tell? I don't know.
Well, I don't expect anything from presidents or governments because they all are in the pocket of the Zionist lobby, particularly in America, particularly many of the congressmen, who just recently signed a kind of agreement to support Israel in this carnage. So I don't trust them because Israel, the Zionist lobby there, put so much money to make them elected, and they don't want to lose their career a political career by not siding with Israel. This is a true fact, and there's so many people involved know it. Unfortunately, the American citizen who is not aware of what is going on the name of the American people and America and the world is not aware of how politics are being done in his own country, and in his name, so many people are being slaughtered. We have been slaughtered by the F-16 given to Israel. We have been bombed by the phosphorus, white phosphorus, which is quite poisonous, given to Israel by the Americans. We are being bombed by the Navy that was supported by the Americans, and we have been blocked in the Security Council for ceasefire only by the Americans. Unfortunately, the politics in America is quite cheap and dirty because many of the congressmen are bought, just simply bought, with the money of the Zionist bear. We rely on people.
We need to take another commercial break. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. We'll be right back. Let me contrast for just a brief moment my life versus yours today. It's a very frigid, cold day in Chicago, but I'm inside. I'm comfortable. There are no tanks outside my building. There are no F-16s shooting missiles down in my neighborhood. There are no attack helicopters doing the same thing. There are no troops breaking down doors, tearing through walls, seizing people, shooting them down in cold blood. There's none of this going on the streets of Chicago where I live. But they go on every day now in occupied Gaza against innocent, defenseless civilians, men, women, children. Makes no difference to the Israelis. I'm a Jew, and I'm ashamed to call myself one. I reject what they're doing. I condemn them for what they're doing. I condemn my government for supporting this. I condemn the entire West for going along with it, for corrupted Arab regimes in the region that say nothing, that do nothing, and they go along with it. Oh, they make pious statements at times. The UN leader, Ban Ki-moon, he makes pious statements at times, and he turns his back and does absolutely nothing, absolutely nothing. So where are the leaders of Egypt, of Saudi Arabia, of the other Arab states? At least in Lebanon, we have Hezbollah. Hezbollah doesn't support this. Even the government of Syria doesn't support this. But Egypt especially, Egypt supposedly is negotiating a ceasefire. Well, Egypt is Washington and Israelis' agents. And they're run by a dictator who holds fictitious elections and wins with 98% of the vote, Hosni Mubarak. And this goes on throughout most of the other states. Iran does not support this. And I could say so much more. Hamas is not a terrorist organization. Hamas is a democratically elected government, perfectly willing to recognize Israel, and I've written this numerous times, and they only want one thing in return. They want to be recognized. They want a legitimate Palestinian state, and they're willing to give up 78% of their original homeland and settle for the remaining 22% inside pre-1967 borders. What better offer is there than that? They don't attack aggressively. They defend themselves, as international law allows, when they are attacked. I could go on and on and on. Let me let either of you or both make some final comments. Oh, my goodness, we have practically no time left, but a final comment or two. Mossad, Iyad?
Yes, Mr. Hussein Haddad. Just before I go, I just have a very slim hope in Mr. Obama when he comes to office. In his election campaign, he was always talking about change. I just hope he changes the U.S. foreign policy against the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. We don't want the administration to be on our side. We just want the administration to be fair, because fairness will help us.
That music means the program is coming to an end, and they'll cut us off the ear. I only have enough time to thank you and Iyad for coming on, and I can tell you there are millions of people in my country who support you and who stand with you and who condemn Israel for the crimes they committed. And I'll continue to do it every single day.
One sentence, please.
Thank you both for coming on. I will not leave this story, I promise you. I will keep talking and writing about it.